Happy Monday, and thank you so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. Today's episode of the show brought to you, as always, by the great folks over at touringplans.com. And we have a relationship of over 5 years here with the Be Our Guest podcast and touringplans.com. And that is because we believe in their product so much. It can truly make or break a Disneyland or Walt Disney World vacation, because you don't want your friends and family standing in line all day and having a miserable time. You want to get down there and see the attractions you know and love with the least amount of wait while having the maximum time to explore the little things on your Disney vacation, like maybe taking a swim at your resort, sitting down for a nice meal. And you can do that when you save time on all of the attractions. When you get your premium subscription to touringplans.com, you'll have use of the Optimizer, which is housed right there on the Lines app, which will sit on your smartphone, and it will let you pick the attractions you are most interested in, and it'll give you the way to see those attractions with the least amount of wait possible. Check them out today and support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 823 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, for BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. Hopefully you're doing well wherever this podcast finds you on our great planet Earth. It's a great thing about podcasting is that we can talk to literally friends all around the planet. So hopefully your Monday's off to a great start, and we always appreciate you starting the week with us here by downloading the show. Today we're going to get back to another trip report, and we're going to have a lot of fun talking about an adults-only trip, which, you know, some of us can only dream about at this point, but I'm going to take some pointers and maybe it'll happen for me as well someday. So joining me today from our neighbor to the south here in the United States, down in the wonderful state of Arkansas, which is the natural state, I believe, we have my friend Heath. How's it going, Heath?
Hey, it's going great, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great. So is it the natural state down there?
It's just as natural as it can be.
That's right. I used to speed skate every year down in Fort Smith on the other side of the state and enjoyed my time there.
That's about as far from here as you can possibly get. There's not a straight road between here and there, but...
Yeah, I can tell you because we came up, I believe it was Highway 72, which was a little bit scary, but, you know, just a little geography lesson here to start the week.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about your trip, and we've been trying to get this show recorded for quite a long time, and we had some scheduling conflicts, lots of stuff came up, so we're going to talk about a unique trip for you guys. You guys went down to Walt Disney World to celebrate your 15th anniversary, so first of all, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
All right, so tell us about the trip. Where'd you guys stay, and, you know, how'd you decide, hey, this is what we want to do?
Well, you know, it was 15-year anniversary, and, you know, Mike, I grew up in one of those families where Disney was always next year, next year, next year, you know, and it just never happened. All, you know, growing up, and in 2009, my father passed, and my mom really just honestly needed the grandkids, and so we moved back home, and after we'd been here a couple months, Mom, we were having lunch, and she came in and she said, "We're going," and I said, "We're going? What does that mean?" And she says, "We're going to Disney." And so start planning it. And, of course, she knew I was the, you know, I'm the planner in the family and have planned our family vacation since I was probably, you know, 13 years old, which was always Branson, Missouri for us. I'm sure you know about Branson and Silver Dollar City.
You know what,
as far as I could not imagine that Disney World would be any better than Silver Dollar City until I was there for the first time.
You know what, though? I think I'm the only person in the state of Missouri. I've never been to Branson. I've been to Lake of the Ozarks,
serious?
But I've never been to Branson. I know Matt Parrish from Wedway is going to kill me, but I got to get down there and check it out.
Oh, man. Next to Disney, Silver Dollar City is the best thing since sliced bread.
All right, awesome. When
my wife and I lived in Missouri, and I taught in the middle of around Rolla for nearly 10 years, and we were pass holders, and if we spent less than 30 days in Silver Dollar City during the year, it was, you know, it was a slow year for us, and so we loved it. But when my mom said that, we immediately started planning, and I think we were in Olive Garden in the mall parking lot, and I said, "I know our next stop." It was Barnes & Noble, and I just found the first, you know, the first guidebook that caught my eye and just started devouring everything from that point. And, you know, that kind of led me to talk about podcasts. And, you know, I teach keyboarding and computers, but I really didn't even know what podcasts were, to be honest with you, until I read about them and found you guys and, you know, several others that I listen to, like most of your audience, religiously. And it was just, I knew that at that point from our trip in 2010, that wouldn't be our first. And so we began, when we came back, it was already, the planning process had already started. When are we going back? And it just turned out that, you know, our 15th anniversary was in 2014 in June. And so we said, that's where we're going. And we're actually timeshare owners. And, you know, I'm not a big proponent of timeshare, but we are. And so, you know, it's kind of one of those things that you deal with once you do. And but we're also members of RCI. And if you're not a timeshare owner, you may not even know what that is, but it's essentially a trading company that allows you to go to different resorts around the country. And we decided to give it a try and see if we could get into DVC. And we did. we ended up getting one bedroom at Saratoga Springs. And it was perfect because, like I say, it was just, you know, it was just my wife and I. And we went up towards Chicago. It was a nice long drive, but that's where her family is from. And we dropped off our three kids. They had a wonderful vacation with their grandparents that they almost never get to see. And we had an incredible week. And Disney World had wonderful, you know, wonderful lodging, some great food, just a lot of fun.
That's one of the things I had down to ask you about, though, because, you know, when you're a family, and I know you guys are a tight family, you can tell it already 5 minutes into the show, but, you know, I can't imagine, you know, Paige is going off to college next year, so it's a little bit different now, but I can't imagine, you know, say 6-7 years ago, and now with Mallory being 7 years old, you know, saying we're going to Walt Disney World, but, you know, we're going to go as a couple, even if we were celebrating, like, our 10th anniversary is coming up in 2016. Was it tough kind of breaking the news, or was it that they got to, like you said, have a vacation up near Chicago with grandparents they know and love? I mean, was it a hard sell for them just because it's Walt Disney World? I would imagine, you know, any other location, not a big deal, but you're going to Walt Disney World.
Yeah, well, we kept it from them as long as we could, honestly. But eventually, you know, the word just kind of got out. And when we went in 2010, we had a 4-year-old and a under 2-year-old. And so, you know, they have memories of it, the 4-year-old, and the 2-year-old, who is now 6 now, talks about it like he was there yesterday. But, you know, we just kind of told them, we promise we're going to go back next summer, which we are. We're going back in June of this year, and we're taking you. Let's let Mommy and Daddy do this. And, you know, they got to go to the Field Zoo, and they got to do the Legoland around Chicago and Children's Museum. So they had a great time. And, you know, they never gave us any grief. And that was awesome. And he was, you know, since our oldest is, he's 9, my wife and I haven't been anywhere overnight, really, hardly, without at least one child. And so it was nice, you know, and we took a lot of flack from our friends. You're going to Disney World and you're leaving your kids. But, you know, I don't regret it at all. Now, when we get into our trip, about halfway through, you know, it got real tough, but missing the kids. But I don't regret doing it. We just had an incredible time together.
That's awesome to be able to have that time as a couple. And I kind of know where you're going, because I've been down for like media events and races and stuff, and I've gone down by myself. And while it is very liberating and great, it is, you know, you can go so fast. Like, everything moves at your speed. You know, you're not tied down to the kids, slowing down, having to use the restroom, getting food, you know, and all that stuff. You're just go, go, go.
Absolutely.
But you know, you see a dad and a daughter sharing a moment, and all of a sudden you're just tore up, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's what it
absolutely
is.
Absolutely. And our youngest is a girl. And, you know, we had two boys first, and that's an interesting relationship, but there's just something about my baby, you know, and so that was kind of tough, and that did start getting to me after a while, but anyway.
It shows you have a soul, I guess that's what we can say. That's a good thing. So, well, let's dive into Saratoga here for just a few minutes, and just give us a review. So you said you liked it. You know, one of the big drawbacks that people have, I think, with Saratoga is location, but I think it's going to be more of a prime location here over the next year or two with Disney Springs really, you know, booming. I think it's going to be a huge success over there. But what did you think at the time staying over there?
You know, honestly, in the way RCI works, you put in a request, at least through our resort, and you wait for them to call you with something. I put in a request at the end of July and waited and waited. Mike, it was November 14th when they finally called me and said, we have a resort, you know, because I said we wanted to be on property. And that's a long wait to just sit and wonder if you're going to get get a unit. And when he said Saratoga Springs, I said, that's on Disney property, right? It was completely off of my radar. I didn't even know it existed. And so I immediately started researching, and we loved it. I put in a request for room because we were going to be completely Disney transportation. I wanted a room close to the buses and close to a pool, and that's exactly what we got. It is a beautiful resort, huge resort, I guess, is the one drawback to it in my mind. We were in the first section. I think it's the grandstand section, if I'm remembering right. But we were the first bus stop, and Mike, there were five bus stops. Yep. In this resort. And so, a 20-minute trip to Magic Kingdom or whatever was really 40 minutes because it took 20 minutes to clear the resort. But we loved it. We had, of course, a full kitchen, a beautiful, wonderful, beautiful bedroom, a king-size bed. The bathroom is bigger than most of the rooms in our house.
That's me, too.
It was just great. It was Disney, but it was not glare in your face. Unlike, we spent 7 nights at Saratoga Springs, and couldn't get a plane out. And so we actually spent one night at the end at All-Star Music. Let's just say that wasn't the most pleasant experience after 7 nights at Saratoga, but it was a wonderful resort. We didn't eat a single thing there. I got drinks, in the morning at night because we were very close to the main building. But so I can't really talk about the food there or anything because we didn't eat there. We ate in the parks, but we loved it. If we went back again and got that same resort, I would not hesitate for a second. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's a little bit shocking going to the All-Stars after DVC-style accommodations.
Oh,
what's going on?
When you walk outside to wait for a bus in the glaring heat and there's not even an awning and you're thinking, oh, my goodness gracious, did I just go to a third-world country,
What are they doing to me?
No, that's
exactly,
funny.
So.
Let's jump into your time in the park. So you guys, it's just you two, and it's... I'm sure it was liberating, and I'm sure it was like, wow, this is so different. So walk us through your experiences in the park, some meals, some rides, whatever you guys did.
Well, when we were there in 2010, it was, again, family, and so we were pretty familiar with, the parks and how everything worked, besides the fact that I will devour anything Disney on the internet and listen to 100 podcasts a week. So, there's not a lot of surprises, but we just... I really thought I'm the type that will plan to a T, but then when I get there, I just kind of remember the plans and mm-hmm. we kind of go with the flow. And so, and that's really, we started out kind of commando style, I have to admit, but a couple days in, we had let go of that. And it was like, if we want to sleep in, let's sleep in. That's far more important than, hitting everything. But we hit every park. Our trip actually started at California Grill, and I have to admit, some of your readers might not like my impressions of California Grill, but it was, we went there our first night, and I made a reservation so we would be up there when fireworks were going off, and we hadn't been in any park yet, and we had literally been there for, just a few hours, and we got there, and we got up there, and Mike, I think the food was probably good, but I just don't think you can prepare yourself for the sticker shock of seeing it on the menu.
You're a good Midwestern guy, just like me.
Yeah, yeah. When my family goes out to eat, we spring for Olive Garden. You know what I mean?
And so
when you get there and we have prepared ourselves, this was our anniversary meal, but when you open a menu and you see $50, we just decided, order what we want. This is our anniversary, and we'll enjoy it. But it was just hard to enjoy it when you knew how much it was costing. But my wife had a phenomenal steak that was great. I had something, pork two ways. I'm not exactly sure what a pork belly is. I just had to tell myself it was thick, undercooked bacon. And I took a few bites, and we went on with it. But, we're just simple people. And it was a little bit too frou, not a little, it was a lot frou-frou for us. And so, it was kind of a great experience. And then, but one that I'm not anchoring to go back to. If we were there with you, Mike, and you said, hey, we're taking you to California Grill and we're paying we would go. But
that's what I do with
paying for. If I'm writing the check, I'm probably not going back. In the fireworks, people just raved about the view of the fireworks from up there. You know, we went out there on the balcony and watched the fireworks, and it's just like, well, they're off to the side. And both my wife and I looked at each other, and we said, we'll get to see this for real in the park in a couple of days. You know, and it was just, I don't know. It was one of those experiences. I'm glad we did it. But, man, I don't know that we will. You know, I don't know that we'll do it again. But that night, we ended up, we had been out. We had been up since about 3 o'clock that morning, and we decided to go to the Magic Kingdom after dinner. We had a friend that my wife used to be in children's ministry when we worked in Missouri, or lived in Missouri, and one of her children in her ministry has now grown up into college and is part of the college program, and we wanted to see her that night, and so we got there, and we met up with her and had a great time, but we were just zonked. So really our first day in the park wasn't until the next day, and we just kind of went at a leisurely pace. We spent the day at Animal Kingdom and just kind of did what we wanted. This, to me, was a food trip. Honestly, I like the rides, but it's about the food for me, you know. And I think there's probably a lot of listeners that are like that. But we did Flame Tree that day and had a great meal there. Of course, I had the ribs I've heard so many people talk about, and they were just, you know, phenomenal. And goodness gracious, as far as standouts in the park, we did some things that we didn't do the last trip. I rode Everest for the first time. I'm not a huge adventurous person, so that was a big step for me. And hey, it was pretty good. Everybody talks about the Yeti. I saw the Yeti. It scared me, you know. But anyway, we did Animal Kingdom. I think the next day we went to Hollywood Studios. Had a really good time there. We tried to do the Fantasmic dinner package, and they had changed. We were there during Star Wars weekends, and so they changed the evening dinner package at Hollywood and Vine to the characters, and the price was $20. So we ended up changing to the Prime 50s Prime Time. And I know that's one of your favorite places, Mike. And we went in, and I requested I wanted a seat with the TV, you know, and I requested that, and that's what we got. And I was so looking forward to this, and you know, I have to tell you, Mike, as much as this was a food trip for us, we just didn't have the greatest experiences. We didn't really have a great experience at 50s Prime Time. Our waitress was just not attentive. I mean, she was just... And what made it so hard is we were in a corner, and there was two or three big groups around us, and they had phenomenal waiters. One was a man, I think they were calling him Uncle Bob or something like that was the waiter's name, and then there was a... And they were just having so much fun with our tables. And our waitress was just never there, you know, and so messed up our order. It was just kind of disappointing when I expected it to be really a great experience. So I think next time when we go back, I'll request a waitress that's going to have a lot of fun rather than a specific type of table. So have you ever had that type of experience there?
You know, I've been very, very lucky at 50s Prime Time. I think I've been there quite a few times because, like you said, it's one of my favorite places to go. And I think the food is reasonably priced there. You know, of course, it's Disney, so it's not, you know, St. Louis prices. But, I mean, it's in comparison, it's not so bad. And it has a lot of things I like. I love the meatloaf. I love the pot roast. I love the chicken. And I love the peanut butter and jelly milkshake, which I just started getting over the last year. But I know what you're saying because I've seen the same thing where, you know, I guess everybody's human. Some people will be more into it on a certain shift and some people aren't, but it is disappointing. I've been lucky to be on the receiving end of great service, but I have seen, you know, within eyeshot there of somebody that's basically just delivering the food. And, you know, it like you said, it's like your Olive Garden server, nothing wrong with it, but you're not getting a show. You're not getting entertained throughout the meal. And when you see other people, like you say, you see, oh man, over at that table, those people are laughing so hard, their sides hurt. You know, it almost makes it hurt for you if you're not getting that kind of service as well.
Yeah, it does. Because, you know, we were there on our anniversary and we had it noted on every ADR. And actually the night before at California Grill, they brought out a creme brulee at the end, which, oh my goodness gracious. If I went back to California Grill, it would just be for that. But, you know, and so I thought, and it's not that we expected anything, but I thought, you know, with it noted on there, maybe people will at least acknowledge that. Our waitress never even acknowledged that it was our anniversary. You know, and you're just thinking, can't somebody tell us to get our elbows off the table?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
You're like, boom, 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 slamming them against the table.
Yeah, so anyway, we did that. And we did Fantasmic this time, which we did not do when we were there in 2010. And it was a cool show. We did one of the fast passes for that. And I have to say, I'd heard that in the past that the Fantasmic dinner package seats were on the side. Well, they had switched that by this summer, mm-hmm. and the fast pass seats were all on the side. And you know, you could still see everything, but it just wasn't front and center. But I tell you, that was really a cool show. I wish that our kids had seen it in 2010. So I'm excited about them seeing it next year. And you know, the Star Wars ride there. What is it called? Star Tours.
Yes.
Oh, we loved that. And our boys are just at that perfect age. They're going to eat that up. And so we had a great time at Hollywood Studios. We would eventually make it to the Magic Kingdom, and we got to ride the new Mine Train. It had not been open for very long, and so we were excited to try and give that a try. We got there at Rope Drop, and by the time we got back there, Mike, I couldn't believe the lines. I mean, it was always well over 120 minutes the entire time we were there, every time we went to the park. And so we did have a fast pass, and we got to ride it, and it's just a really cool ride. I know, what I started noticing by about three to four days into the trip, I was comparing everything to how my children are going to... children are going to enjoy it, and that became the point of conversation for my wife and I. Oh, Jaren's going to love this, you know. and so I guess several days in, we did start to, kind of miss the kids. But, you know, there wasn't really anything that we didn't get to do that we wanted to do. We did do Cinderella's Royal Table at Magic Kingdom. You know, everybody talks about that and how it just kind of gets mixed reviews. I tell you, we loved it. We absolutely, just the two of us, we had a phenomenal time, and we were there for breakfast. We loved the food, and we really enjoyed it. We would definitely go back and do that. We were planning to do that when we were there this summer, but they have moved it, and it just wasn't going to be the same. So we'll do that on another trip. But I know our daughter will love that. You know, one of the things that we did at Cinderella's Royal Table is because we were missing our daughter, we had each of the princesses to record a little video message to Ella, our daughter. She absolutely loved that, and plus that gave us some way to, you know, to, these two adults to interact with these princesses. And so, you know, that was a fun thing to do, and we got to bring that home and show that to Ella, and she absolutely loved it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I actually did a similar thing when I was down for the media event back last April, and I think it was like the last day of April, first day of May. They gave us fast passes to meet Anna and Elsa, and I'm thinking, you know, it's just me. My family's not here. This is such a waste because, you know, it's like so hard to get in there. But I had Anna and Elsa. Disney loves me because I went into the gift shop and bought a book or something that's Frozen, and they autographed it to Mallory, you know. So this is kind of the same thing. You know, I'm thinking of my girl and taking something home, you know, memory that, you know, even though it was just me, I could share that with my family, you know, upon returning home. We think a lot alike.
Yeah. We had done that as well. I was at a Goodwill somewhere and found a Cinderella book and had Cinderella to autograph that to our daughter, and she loved it. I think it was our Magic Kingdom day that we went to Ohana in the afternoon that evening for dinner. Oh my goodness, Mike.
Yeah, that's more our style, I have a feeling.
That was incredible. you know, it's one of, and it was one of those things where they just keep bringing it, and I just kept on eating it. You know, that was so good. It definitely deserves the rave reviews that it gets, does it not?
Oh yes. I mean, it's...
And they were very accommodating. My wife likes her steak well done, and they would, you know, our waiter was very diligent. After the first time, when they would come around again, he would always, now this piece is well done, and. You know, it was so good. And that bread pudding at the end, oh, my goodness.
See, I'm not a fan of that. My wife could kill for it. My wife loves it. But, I'm one of those people, I really enjoy the sides at Ohana, too. The sides, I think, are just as good as the big skewers of meat. You know, I'm one of those people that'll fill up on the sides, you know, and it's like, hey, slow down here.
That's true. I didn't know I liked pot stickers.
Oh, those are so good.
Until there, and those were phenomenal. So so we had, you know, we had a great meal there. I'm trying to think. I've gotten myself completely off of thought. We talked about Animal Kingdom. We talked about Magic Kingdom.
Well, let me ask you this, because the only park we haven't mentioned, which is kind of surprising for a couple, is Epcot. Because I think of all the parks, this is a great place to actually, when you don't have the kids in tow, to explore World Showcase, to see what the countries are all about, do some shopping, you know, and get a little culture there, especially when, you know, you're from here in the middle of the United States. So did you guys enjoy your time over there?
You know, we did. I would say it's not our favorite. I would say probably, honestly, our favorite park is probably Animal Kingdom, strangely enough. But when we were in Disney in 2010, it was the third day mark with children, and anyone that goes vacations with children, you know what happens on day three or day four. I mean, it's kind of like breakdown day. And so that was where we were in 2010. So honestly, we didn't really get to experience, and so we were excited about, you know, about our time at Epcot. And we did Test Track, which we didn't get to do before, and had a great time. Really liked it, being able to design your car. That was pretty cool. I just didn't have a concept of how that really worked, you know, until you actually go through the line and do it. But that was really neat. I know when we go back next time, I'm going to say I want to design my own car, you know, because we could not agree on anything. So so our car didn't exactly do that well because we... But anyway, neither here nor there. But we, you know, we had a good time in Future World, and I think we honestly like Future World better than World Showcase. We're not big shoppers. We're really not. And so we would kind of just walk through, and we had a good time. And one thing that we discovered on this trip, and I never even dreamed that it would be a big deal for us, but from the first day, we started meeting characters. And we sort of made it our mission to meet as many characters as we could. We didn't schedule any part of our day around any of it, but if there was a character, we would wait in line for it. And so we kind of did that throughout the World Showcase, and we really had a great time. Of course, we stopped in Germany at the caramel bakery or whatever that is, and had a salted caramel that was, you know, amazing. We kind of ate our way. We did the school bread in Norway, and that everybody raves about, and kind of ate our way, snacked our way, I guess, around the World Showcase. But it was just, with the day we were there, was just so incredibly hot. And I know you're in and out a lot, but it was a lot of walking, I guess. And we were kind of exhausted by the time we were making it around. Now, our ADR at Epcot one night was at Chef de France. And again, it was a little bit too fancy for me, I have to admit. I wanted to try the escargot. You know, that is completely outside of my comfort zone.
I've never had that in my mouth, let me just tell you, and I don't know if I ever will.
But I thought, you know what, I'm probably not ever going to France. This is as close as it'll be. I should at least try it. And so I ate them. But you know why I ate them? Because they were $12.
That's,
you know,
right. It's kind of like Survivor. You know, hey, you got to eat it because you have to eat it.
That's right. My wife had a French onion soup that was phenomenal, and I wish I had that instead. But we had a good experience. We had a good waitress, but it was just, it's just frou-frou, and we were simple people. We were a lot happier with a hamburger we had, you know, for lunch. And so, but we had a good time there. Later in the week, we also went back, and we went to what's the restaurant in England and Britain?
Oh, Rose and Crown.
Yeah, and we actually did. We really enjoyed the Rose and Crown. I had the fish and chips, and she had the bangers and mash, and we decided we were going to switch halfway through, you know, and that was great. I mean, that was one of our favorite meals there. And like you said about 50s primetime, we thought it was, you know, very affordable. And, you know, and so we had a great time. One thing that we really did like about Epcot is when we were there, because we were there for 7 days, so we went in and out of the parks a lot. We walked over to Boardwalk, and we'd not ever been over there, and that's just a really neat place, you know, to just kind of walk around and to hang out. We ended up splitting a cupcake at the Boardwalk Bakery. Oh, my goodness. Have you ever had one of the cupcakes there, Mike?
Yes, I have, and that's a great – I don't know if it's a hidden gem anymore, but you got to visit the Boardwalk Bakery. So many great pastries and, sweets. I could die in that place.
It was. It was phenomenal. We just toured. I don't think that we did anything extremely spectacular. I mean, everybody – we just did the normal things that everyone did, but it was fun to do it. You know, like you said, with just your spouse. I mean, when you have kids, you do have to slow down. You have to go at a different pace. You have to go back to the resort and take a nap, or, you know, and we didn't really have to do any of that. We just kind of did what we wanted. But I will say, Mike, by about day four, we were missing our kids pretty bad. And so every time you'd see a father, you know, carrying his daughter around on his shoulders, or, you know, watching the fireworks, it was just kind of like, oh, that could be Ella. Or, you know, we would talk about how the boys would really like to do the Star Wars thing at Hollywood Studios, the one where they get to fight. What is that called? We haven't got to do that yet.
The old Jedi Training Academy.
The Jedi Training Academy, they would love that. We were there for Star Wars weekend, and so we got to experience that some, and it really became a matter of we enjoyed every bit of it, but it is, we were missing our kids. We really were. And so it was a lot of next year when we come back, we're going to do this with them and this. And so it was really a lot of fun, but it was hard.
It is, and it's a really different perspective, but it's a fun way to see Walt Disney World. But I mean, it really does show that it's a great family destination. I learned that every time I go down by myself for a podcast event or a race or, you know, what have you. And, you know, let me ask you this, though, because, you know, we're focusing on the couples aspect, and hopefully some people are getting some ideas. And, you know, we have lots of couples planning on going down without kids, and it's a great resource for them today. It's funny how this all goes full circle. But as we wrap up today's show, with my Disney experience, you know, you have a family, and you're probably already starting to look at this for this summer, for June, with your full family. You know, how did that work for you as a couple? Was it something that was something you just kind of used as a kind of a backup plan because it was just you guys and it wasn't such a big deal? Or was my Disney experience something great for you guys?
Well, you know, we really, we used it to our full advantage, I think, prior to, you know, we had, of course, had our three fast passes planned. And I learned a lot about how to plan fast passes based on this trip, because we didn't, you know, after a couple of days, we didn't continue going at rope drop. And so, for example, we missed our Toy Story Mania at Hollywood Studios, and we never got on it for the rest of the trip because we missed our fast pass, and line's just too long. But so I would say to people, you know, don't make your fast passes too early, because if you, in case you get there later than you anticipate, you can still, you know, make those for the afternoon. But it worked well for us. I mean, now, at least for the three, once we were there, we had talked a lot of times about that rolling fast pass that was available, and that's actually how we did Fantasmic. But we didn't really take advantage of it because we just, you know, we weren't in a big hurry. If there was a line and we wanted to wait in it, we waited in it. When we were at Magic Kingdom, for example, one afternoon, it started to rain. We both had ponchos, and so we were walking past the Mine Train, and the line cleared out. Well, the line cleared all inside the gate, and so we just got in line and waited, you know. But as far as my Disney experience goes, it was, you know, it worked well for us. We didn't use a lot in the parks. Our cell phones are not the most up to date, and so it was difficult there. And then I just didn't want to go traipsing around finding the kiosk. But it was nice to be able to plan ahead and know that I didn't have to get to the park and run across the park back and forth gathering fast passes. I did like that.
That's how I used to get all my aerobics in back in the day. You know, I was the runner.
I'm sure, but I did enjoy that aspect of it, and the bracelets, the Magic Bands. We loved them. I mean, we never had a single issue with them the entire time we were there, and so we really liked it. Now, looking forward to our trip in June of this year, we've actually decided to stay off property, and so we don't have as much access to, you know, all of the features on My Disney Experience as early, and so we've already noticed that, you know, and so it'll be interesting to see how it all works out this year. But but we, you know, we just, we really liked it. We liked the ability to be able to pay and to schedule your fast passes. Now, we did struggle once we were there at, in the evening, if we wanted to try to change something for the next day. A lot of times we had trouble finding, you know, the fast passes for the things that we wanted. So we ended up, after trying that a couple times, just leaving what we had and you know, kind of going with it. But I thought they were great. I mean, it just made everything so easy.
Well, it sounds like you guys had a great trip and, you know, definitely a different perspective when you're a family man and then you go down as a couple. And, you know, like I said, I've been solo, but I'd like to go with just my wife sometime and be able to, you know, kind of have some nice slow down meals. I don't know. I wouldn't know what to do. But
well, I would encourage you, don't go for a week.
No. Okay, that's a good tip. That's actually a good tip.
Yeah,
maybe a long weekend.
That's what I would do it again. But, and you know, we had actually talked about this. My sister-in-law really wanted to go, and we had talked about Candy and I going down for a few days and then them flying down and joining us. You know what, Mike, that would have been perfect.
I like it.
To have had a couple of days alone and then had them join us. And that I'd encourage you and your wife to do that. That would be, you would have an incredible time and the best of both worlds. So
that's it. Well, hey, I'm going to definitely think about that. And, you know, best wishes to you guys on your trip this June. We'll talk again when you get back and get the family perspective. And, Heath, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with us and really appreciate you supporting the show and coming on and chatting with us today.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Don't forget today's episode of the show brought to you by the good folks over at touringplans.com. So if you're headed out to Disneyland or down to Walt Disney World, be that hero of your family. Or, hey, if you're going as just a couple, man, you're going to be like, you know, her knight in shining armor or, you know, the woman that knows everything. You know, be the person with the information and keep your spouse or your family out of lines and just show them what you know. Because with the premium subscription to touringplans.com, you have access to the absolute best and most accurate information to steer you in the right direction, because you'll have the optimizer where you can pick your favorite attractions and shows. It'll tell you the best way to see those attractions right now based on who's in the park that day, and going to steer you right in the correct direction. So support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com, and we thank the folks over at touringplans.com for sponsoring the Be Our Guest podcast. The next Be Our Guest podcast live show is going to come your way on Sunday night, March 15th at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. That's right. We'll be talking all things Disney, and boy, has Disney given us a lot to talk about over the last month or so. I don't even know if we can fit it all in, but we're going to have a good time again. March 15th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, the next Be Our Guest podcast live show. And join us on Magical Mouse Radio every day. We play great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hey, if you're missing your favorite place, you know, you have a hankering for Walt Disney World, just turn on the station. You never know what you'll hear. You might hear some Interventions background music. You might hear something from over in Expedition Everest area. You know, he's a big fan of that now. And, you know, maybe you'll hear the Yeti. Who knows? But check out MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike, and I'd love to hear from you this week. We're also on Facebook, so if you wouldn't mind giving us a like over there, we'd appreciate it. We're at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, drop by and join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And one last thing, we'd love it if you could give us a review and a rating over in the iTunes store. That helps new folks find our show, and we really, really appreciate it each and every time you can give us a rating and a review over there so we can grow the show here in February. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Thank you so much once again for starting your week with us. We hope you enjoyed today's show, and boy, I'm in the mood for some Ohana right now. All right, so for Heath, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.